Yes, please, I add.
You still with your boyfriend? He asks.
Yep, she gives him a sweet smile before pointing to Asher. I'll be sure to tell him you said hello. River glances at the muscular football player, who looks like he could bench press a small vehicle with ease. When the other guy glares, River lifts his hand in a wave. A chuckle escapes from Lola as she disappears through the crowd. Excuse me? What happened to you not wanting a girlfriend? He flashes a cocky smile.
Who knows? Maybe the right one could persuade me.
That's doubtful. I'm beginning to think you're the one who'll have to do the persuading.
That's not very nice.
I jerk my shoulders. Maybe not, but it's the truth.
Funny. You sound just like Mom.
Eyes flaring wide, I stab a finger in his direction. You take that back.
I'll be sure to tell her you said that.
Better not, or this will be the last lunch we have together. When his lips tremble and his shoulders shake, mine do the same. This is the way it always is between us. We're the best of friends, even when we're bickering. Our bond is one that can never be broken. Less than 10 minutes later, our taco platters arrive and we dig in. River eats with gusto, kind of like he spent a month on that reality show Survivor and was finally voted off the island. I take my time, knowing that whatever I don't finish, which will be most of it, my brother will end up devouring. I can't think of one time when we walked out with a doggy bag. Once I tap out, he spears his fork at my plate.
Are you done with that?
Yep. I slide the platter filled with rice, beans, and chicken-stuffed tacos his way, before picking up my glass of water. A few drops dribble from the corner of my mouth onto my V-neck shirt. With a smirk, River shakes his blonde head.
Seriously, sis, I can't take you anywhere.
When I blot at the thin material with the napkin, his brow furrows.
Where's your necklace?
I gulp as my fingers sweep against my collarbone. I feel naked without the silver chain and the little pendant resting against my skin. I drop my gaze and continue blotting. There's no way I can lie to my brother while holding his steady stare. He'll see the fib written across my face within seconds of it leaving my lips. I took it off before showering this morning and must have forgotten to put it back on. There's a second or two of silence that has my heart exploding into double time.
I didn't think you ever took it off.
With a forced smile, I attempt to keep the panic from invading my voice. I usually don't. As soon as I get home, I'll put it back on. His brow remains creased as his tone dips.
I gave it to you right after you were diagnosed.
A thick lump of emotion swells in my throat, making it impossible to breathe. I remember. When a faraway look clouds his blue eyes, I realize that he's mentally tripping down that painful path again. I was diagnosed at age 16 with acute lymphoblastic leukemia, and sometimes I think it was harder on my family than it was on me. Or maybe it just felt that way because I was forced to put on a brave face in front of them so they wouldn't worry more than necessary. Most nights, River would crawl into my bed. Sometimes when he thought I was sleeping, his breathing would grow choppy. It would be impossible not to remember the sound of him trying to choke back his sobs. We're twins. There's never been a time when I haven't been finely attuned to both his thoughts and feelings. More often than not, I experience them as if they were my own, and vice versa. It's the reason I can never stay angry with him for long. I might not like what he's doing, but I understand the reason for it and that his response comes from a loving place. He doesn't want me to get hurt. I just wish he'd recognize when he's the one who's causing me pain. You know that I'm fine, right? I murmur, wanting to draw his attention away from the past. I've been in remission for 2 years. He blinks and refocuses on me as his expression remains somber.
I still don't understand why you felt the need to transfer schools. I liked you being close.
I bite back the frustrated sigh that sits perched on the tip of my tongue. Because it was time for me to spread my wings and be more independent.
And you couldn't do that at Eastdown? With his constant hovering?
We both know the answer to that. Our gazes stay locked as a silent dialogue takes place between us. It's one of the benefits to being a twin. We don't need to say a word to communicate our thoughts and feelings. When we were kids, it used to get us into trouble.
Fine,
he grumbles.
We'll drop the topic.
Then he tacks on.
For now.
I glance at my watch. You should probably finish up. My shift at the tutor lab starts in 20 minutes. As he picks up his fork, preparing to dig in, voices drift on the air and my skin prickles with awareness. I glance toward the entrance of the restaurant as the energy shifts and a bunch of hockey players walk in, jostling one another. My belly spasms as a fresh burst of nerves explodes within me. Maverick McKinnon. A smile lights up his handsome face as he laughs with one of his teammates. The way his lips curve and the flash of white teeth hits me like a punch to the gut. Memories from the night we spent together roll through my brain like a slow-motion picture show. The way he ran his strong hands over my body. He hadn't been hesitant or careful. After slipping into the townhouse I share with Holland the next morning, I'd shed my clothing for a quick shower. Right before I'd stepped into the enclosed space, I'd caught a glimpse of myself in the mirror. There'd been hickeys and handprints all over my breasts and inner thighs. It had been shocking, but deliciously so. Maverick had played my body like a fine instrument, making it come alive. Even though it's only been a handful of days since we slept together, I've relived the memory at least 1,000 times. When he glances around the restaurant, I squeak and duck my head. Shit. I really hope he didn't see me.
Willow, River frowns. Are you all right?
I flick a quick look at my brother as he shovels another forkful of rice and beans into his mouth. I don't feel well. I force a wince. The tacos are hitting me hard.
Really?
His brows pinch.
We come here all the time and you've never had a problem before.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the issue is. My belly feels like it's in shambles. He holds up a hand.
TMI.
Would you mind grabbing the check and paying this time? Holland dropped me off, so I'll need a ride back to campus. I chance another peek at the hot hockey player. I'm certainly not the only girl eye fucking him. He draws female attention like bees to honey. I'll wait in the SUV for you, okay?
Sure, no problem. Give me a few minutes.
As soon as Maverick and his group are shown to a table, I dip my head and race for the exit. On the way out, my gaze collides with Hayes's. That's all it takes for a wide smile to light up his face as he shakes his head in amusement. When he points to Maverick, whose back is turned to him, and widens his eyes, looking like he's going to tap him on the shoulder, I scowl and give him the finger. That only makes him laugh harder. One of these days, I'm going to strangle that guy. It's a relief when I shove through the glass door and into the chilled afternoon air. The only problem? My brother is still inside, with my one-night stand.
Chapter 12. Maverick. My senses heighten as I do a double take and slowly scan the restaurant. For just a second or two, I could have sworn I caught sight of the hot blonde from the other night. As I study each face in the crowd, none are hers. I'd recognize her heart-shaped face, pouty pink lips, bright blue eyes, and golden hair anywhere. My hand drifts to the delicate silver chain that hangs around my neck. This isn't the first time my mind has conjured her up and played tricks on me. It's happened more than once on campus. From the corner of my eye, I'll catch a flash of long blonde hair. When I pause to study my surroundings, there's no one in sight. Of course there isn't. She doesn't attend Western. She's an Easttown student. At least, that's my assumption. Other than what she likes in bed, I know nothing about her. As loath as I am to admit it, even privately to myself, that's become a major issue. All these sightings are starting to drive me a little crazy. More than anything, I wish she'd turned out to be a forgettable lay. Unfortunately, nothing could be further from the truth.
Hey man, it's good to see you again. Twice in 1 week, how lucky is that?
Knocked from the tangle of my thoughts, I locked gazes with River Thompson.
Great.
Just the asshole I didn't want to see. From what I understand, Hayes and River went to high school together and played on a couple of the same travel hockey teams while growing up. They're still friendly, we're not, and never will be. I open my mouth to unload when a glint of silver at the base of his throat snags my attention. My gaze zeroes in on the chain hanging around his neck, and I swallow down the sharp words. What the fuck? It looks suspiciously similar to the one that was left behind in my bed. Instead of a W, there's an R pendant hanging from the necklace. Was the jewelry a gift from him? If that's the case, then the little ray of sunshine I slept with can't be one of his bunnies. It's so damn tempting to pull out the necklace with the W pendant from beneath my t-shirt and show it off. Can you imagine the look on his face if he discovered that I fucked his girl a few times? It would be the sweet justice he deserves. Or maybe I should share how responsive she'd been in my arms. Even remembering the way she'd come undone has me dragging a hand through my hair and swearing under my breath. His narrowed gaze stays fastened to mine as he shifts, straightening to his full height.
What do you say, McKinnon?
A silent war erupts in my head. As much as I want to throw her in his face and gloat, I keep it to myself. For the time being, I lift my chin.
I asked where your girlfriend was.
The question is out of my mouth before I can think better of it. His expression turns stony as his phone buzzes with an incoming message.
None of your damn business.
He glances at his cell before his thumbs fly across the screen. Is that her? Is she texting him? I've never wanted to wrestle someone's phone away from them more than I do at this moment. What the hell is happening to me? I almost shake my head to loosen those disturbing thoughts. From the corner of my eye, Hayes's shoulders shake as tears gather in his eyes. He's practically dying over there. I turn toward my teammate with an arched brow. Do you have something to add to the convo? The sound of his laughter grates against my nerves. It's only when I continue to glare that my teammate clears his throat.
Nope, I'm just watching the show and waiting for everyone to get caught up to speed.
River's phone dings for a second time, and then a third in quick succession. I grind my molars in silent aggravation. I just want to rip the device away, and that thought is enough to stop me in my tracks. Jealousy. That's the emotion attempting to eat me alive. It's not something I've ever experienced before, not even with Sabrina. I liked the girl, but we were young, and it was never that deep. What really pissed me off was that she dumped my ass for River fucking Thompson. For some reason, this feels different, and I have no idea why. It doesn't make a damn bit of sense. I don't even know her name. I only know what she sounds like when her pussy clenches around my cock and she's making those sexy purring noises deep in her throat. Those thoughts are enough to have my junk stirring to life, and that should definitely not be happening when River and I are seconds away from coming to blows. Anytime I even think about the blonde, this is the direction my thoughts trip down. I draw a deep, cleansing breath into my lungs and attempt to wrangle all of these out-of-control emotions back under submission again. River shoots a frown at Hayes.
Get up to speed with what?
My teammate sends an innocent look my way.
Nothing, just making small talk, right, Mav?
I grunt in answer. When I remain silent, River glances at his phone for the umpteenth time.
As much fun as this has been, I need to take off. My sister's outside waiting for me.
Oh? Hayes turns gleeful at that bit of news.
Be sure to give her a big hello from me. It's been way too long since we've seen one another.
Yeah, sure. With one final glare in my direction, River takes off, disappearing through the front entrance.
That was a fun surprise. Who knew there'd be dinner and a show?
Shut the hell up, Van Doren, I grumble, staring at the doors River just shoved through. For reasons I can't explain, it's tempting to follow him out to the parking lot. Even stranger than that, I actually consider the merits of it for a second or two before shooting down the idea. The last thing I need is to get into another fight with a guy. But still, I can't shake the weird feeling that's fallen over me. As Hayes settles at the table, I blurt, "Do you have any idea who his girlfriend is?" I hold my breath, hating that I even asked the question. But I need to know. His expression turns cagey as he shakes his head.
Sorry, dude, not a clue.
As everything deflates inside me, I do the only thing I can and attempt to move the fuck on with my life. It's easier said than done.
Chapter 13, Willow. My palms dampen with nerves as my gaze stays trained on the entrance of Taco Loco. When there's still no sign of my brother, I fire off another text, trying to hasten him along. It's been more than 10 minutes since I sprinted from the restaurant like my ass was on fire. River should have been right behind me. How long does it take to pay the check? My mind spirals, imagining the worst-case scenario. I really hope he and Maverick aren't getting into it. Those two can't be within 10 feet of each other without coming to blows. If Maverick thinks I'm with River, he might decide to throw it in my brother's face, a little payback for past transgressions. As far as I know, that's all Saturday night was to him. Maverick taking something that belonged to River. A pit settles at the bottom of my belly. I really hope that wasn't the case. It would really suck if the best sex of my life turns out to be nothing more than a revenge plot. A way to lash out at my brother. I shift on the leather seat of River's SUV and stare out the passenger side window, silently willing my twin to walk out. The tacos I'd eaten for lunch threatened to make an unexpected appearance. Just as I open the home screen of my phone to fire off yet another text, River shoves through the glass doors and stalks toward the vehicle. My lungs empty of air, until little spots dance across my vision. His expression is grim as he slides into the driver's seat of his Chevy Blazer and stabs the ignition. Anger vibrates off him in suffocating waves. Any moment, he's going to blow a gasket. I'm terrified to ask what happened because it's apparent from his stony expression and demeanor that something transpired. The only one capable of setting River off like this is Maverick McKinnon. Oh God, I never should have gone home with him. What the hell had I been thinking? If I could go back in time and... I gulp as my brain somersaults. Would I make different choices? It's surprising to realize that I wouldn't change one single second that transpired between us. He's the only man to make me feel alive. Like I could soar above the earth, untethered. Before him, I had no idea that kind of pleasure existed. And for all I know, it's not something I'll ever experience again. My heart clenches at the depressing possibility. So no, I wouldn't change a single second, no matter the fallout. It's only when my fingers drift to where my necklace should be that I realize they're shaking. Before I can work up the nerve to ask what happened in the restaurant, my twin's stormy gaze settles on mine.
Did you know that Maverick McKinnon was in there?
My teeth scrape against my lower lip. It's so tempting to lie, but I'm already keeping too many secrets from my brother. I'm loath to heap any more onto the pile. Yeah, I caught sight of him on the way out. The muscle in his clenched jaw ticks a mad rhythm.
I really fucking hate that guy.
His gaze sears into mine.
You know that?
You've mentioned it a time or two. It takes effort to swallow past the lump that has formed in my throat, and even more to keep the thin waver from invading my voice. Did you two have another run-in?
Yep.
A smirk lifts the corners of his lips. Told him that it was great to see him twice in 1 week. I groan. So you're the one who instigated it. His brows slam together as his expression contorts.
After the fight he started during the game? You bet your ass I did. The guy is a total dick. He deserves to have the loss shoved in his face. He thinks he's so fucking special.
I release the painful breath clogging my lungs. Maybe he's the one who has something to be angry about. Have you forgotten you stole his girlfriend in high school? River's upper lip curls as he glares.
Exactly, whose side are you on?
There's a beat of uncomfortable silence before his tone turns suspicious.
Why are you defending him all of a sudden?
My eyes widen as I shake my head. Fear slides through me and I gulp. That's not what I'm doing.
Yeah, you are.
He reverses the SUV and nearly gives me whiplash. My mouth dries. I'm just stating the obvious. He's the one who has something to be angry about. Maybe at some point, you need to sit down and hash it out instead of constantly getting into fights on the ice.
That suggestion is met with a scowl. What happened with Sabrina is ancient history.
Clearly, it's not. It continues to rear its ugly head every chance it gets.
We're not even together anymore,
he mutters, some of his previous anger draining away. When everything first went down, I thought River stole Sabrina as a way to mess with Maverick. But they were together for over a year before breaking up and going their separate ways in college. My brother hasn't been the same since then. I can admit it, even if he won't. Have you tried reaching out to her? His lips flatten as he gives his head a slight shake. Even though Sabrina and I still follow each other on social media, we haven't spoken in years. I've seen pics of her with a few guys, but there doesn't seem to be anyone serious in her life. Maybe it's time for you to...
I don't want to talk about Sabrina.
There's a brief pause.
Or Maverick McKinnon. Sabrina is part of my past, and nothing is going to change that.
Even though it'll fall on deaf ears, I can't resist adding, it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, it does. End of story.
When my fingers brush across my collarbone for a second time and come away empty, I realize that I need to get my necklace back. The question is how.
Chapter 14, Maverick. Sweat drips down the back of my neck as I shove into the locker room and throw my stick in the holder near the door. Even though practice ended a few minutes ago, I'm still breathing hard. It only takes one glance around to realize that I'm not the only one. Coach has been skating our asses off since the loss on Saturday night. Hey, losses happen. No one likes it. But when it's against our biggest conference rival, that's when it becomes unacceptable. We've just given our opponents for the next scheduled game a massive mental boost. I unsnap the chin strap and yank the helmet off my head before tossing it into my locker and dropping down to the bench to unlace my skates. Ryder huffs out a tired breath and takes a seat next to me. As far back as I can remember, we've played for the same team. First, house teams, then when we were older, travel teams. I always played up with the older kids, so we were together. The only exception is when Ryder graduated from high school and started college. I've never admitted this to anyone, but my senior season in high school sucked because Ryder wasn't there skating beside me. When I was on the ice, it felt like a vital part of me was missing. We've been teammates for so long that I know the moves he's going to make before they happen, maybe even before he realizes it. There's comfort in being able to read someone so easily. One glance and I understood how the play was going to unfold and where I fit into the schematic. We were like a well-oiled machine. Everything fell back into place once I graduated and started at Western the next fall. I'd assumed that we'd coast through the next 3 years before he signed his contract with Chicago.
McKinnon, see me before you take off, Coach calls out, meeting my gaze as he crosses the locker room to his office. Fuck, you've done it now, Ryder chuckles from beside me.
I shoot him a dark look before glancing at the frosted glass door Coach disappeared through.
Any idea what that's about?
Ryder asks as guys joke and strip off their gear around us before hopping in the showers. Nope. All right, so maybe that's not altogether true. I had the sneaking suspicion that this might have something to do with my shitty English grade. He already ripped me a new one for getting into it with River after the game on Saturday. I can't imagine he's going to bring that up again. Here's the thing about Coach. Once we've discussed a topic, he expects you to take care of it and puts the issue to rest. He doesn't treat us like we're a bunch of toddlers in need of constant supervision. It's one of the things I like about the guy. When I sit and stare, lost in the whirl of my thoughts, Ryder bumps my shoulder.
You better get a move on. Don't want to keep Coach waiting.
A sigh escapes from me. He's right about that. Better to get it over with. Ryder and our new coach haven't always seen eye to eye. It took a few months for their relationship to even out, but it's much better now. Anytime a new coach comes in and shakes things up, there's bound to be growing pains. Coach Phillips had to break down Ryder to build him back up again so he could elevate his game. As much as I'm going to miss playing with him next year, I'm excited to see what he achieves. It wouldn't surprise me if he takes the league by storm. He's that fucking good. And I'll be stuck playing here for another year before moving on to the pros. That is, if I can get this damn English grade up. If not... A shudder slides through me before I force the possibility from my head, unwilling to dwell on it. Once I'm showered and changed, I wrap my knuckles against the door and poke my head inside his office. A flurry of nerves wings its way to life at the bottom of my belly. Getting summoned to the head coach's office is never good. If he wants to give you kudos, he does it in front of the team. You wanted to see me, Coach? With the remote in hand, he clicks off the game film he's watching and waves me in, before pointing to the chair parked in front of the metal desk. There are papers scattered everywhere. He pulls off his Western Wildcats ball cap and plows his fingers through his blonde hair.
Take a seat, Maverick.
Well, hell. That means I'm going to be here for a while. I force myself farther inside the small space before dropping down onto the chair. I just want to get this over with and move on with my life. Coach steeples his fingers in front of him.
I spoke with Dr. Lindstrom this afternoon.
Yep, hit the nail on the head. English.
Apparently, you didn't do so well on the last paper, and it's dropped your overall grade to a C- in the class.
I shift as shame and embarrassment crash over me. English has always been a challenging subject. Anything with a lot of text to digest makes me feel like I'm drowning. It's the worst feeling in the world. If I thought it would get better after high school, I was wrong. There's even more reading in college, more comprehending and synthesizing of information, all the while trying to make sense of it. It's fucking exhausting. If Coach is aware of my dyslexia diagnosis, he's never mentioned it, and that's exactly the way I want to keep it. It's no one's business but my own. When he stares at me expectantly, as if waiting for an explanation, I mumble, I'm working on getting it up.
You're right on the cusp. Anything lower and you'll be academically ineligible to play. I'd hate to see that happen with playoffs coming up.
Tension fills my muscles as his gaze stays pinned to mine. I get the feeling this conversation isn't going to end with a simple work harder speech the way I'd anticipated.
Dr. Lindstrom was kind enough to reach out to the tutoring center on campus and secure a student for you to meet with to help get this grade up. Your first session is scheduled for 6 sharp tomorrow after practice at the library.
That's definitely not what I wanted to hear. He rips off a sheet of paper from a notebook before handing it over. I have no choice but to reach out and accept it. Everything sinks inside me like a heavy stone, as the name and number blur before my eyes. I really hate working with tutors, and student ones are the fucking worst. Like I need randoms all up in my business spreading gossip about me? Fuck no. Even if I don't disclose my learning disability, it doesn't take long before they figure out that there's something wrong. Their demeanor will change and they'll treat me like I'm in elementary school.
Is that really necessary?
Heat stains my cheeks as I mumble the question. I can do it on my own.
Yeah, I think it is, he says with a heavy sigh. As soon as you have a solid B in the course, you can drop the tutoring.
My mouth tumbles open and my eyes widen. Seriously? Does he realize how impossible that is?
It's important you get the support you need through the remainder of the season. I'm sure your tutor will be able to help with your other classes as well.
If given the choice, I would have preferred another ass-reaming for picking a fight with River Thompson than this BS. When I silently stew, he jerks a brow.
Any questions?
I shake my head. He pushes away from the desk.
Okay then, we're finished here.
I rise to my feet and head for the door, needing to get the hell out of his office. It feels like the walls are closing in on me. As I cross the threshold, Coach says,
Maverick.
I glance over my shoulder and meet his gaze.
Yeah? I'll be keeping close tabs on all of your classes, but especially English.
My mouth turns cottony as I jerk my head into a nod. Fan-fucking-tastic. Even though it's tempting to slam the door on the way out, I fight the urge, taking care to close it gently. It's a struggle. As soon as the lock clicks into place, I glance at the paper. My new tutor's name is Stacy. Well, Stacy can go fuck herself. I crumple the paper into a tight ball and shove it into my pocket before stalking back to my locker to pick up my duffel. Most of the guys have already taken off, which is for the best. I don't need those nosy bastards getting all up in my business. They're like a bunch of old ladies gossiping in a church parking lot after services. My head is a mess as I leave the ice arena and stalk toward the lot on the other side of campus, where I parked my truck this afternoon because I was running late for class. English, to be exact, it's become the fucking bane of my existence. I can't help but think that none of this would be happening if my parents had allowed me to play juniors before entering the draft instead of forcing me to attend college. I'd already be playing professional hockey. In the grand scheme of things, this class is meaningless. It's so damn frustrating. Midway across campus, my phone rings. I slide the slim device from my pocket and glance at the screen before answering. Hey, what's up?
Not much, Dad says. Just wanted to check in and see how practice went.
It's like the man has a sixth sense where his children are concerned. He's always able to detect when there's a disturbance in the force. It was fine. Coach came down on us like a hammer after the last loss.
Can't blame him for that.
Dad's deep voice simmers with humor. I'm sure he's thinking about all the times his coaches busted his balls back in the day. It might not have been fun at the time, but they sure seem like fond memories now. Who knows? Maybe I'll look back and feel just as nostalgic. Ha! Doubtful.
I spoke to Reed Phillips earlier this afternoon.
My feet grind to a halt as surprise creeps into my voice. You did?
Yep. I had a few things to discuss with him about Wolf and Ryder.
Dad reps both of my teammates through his sports management agency. He's negotiated their contracts with the franchises they'll be playing with next season. There's a moment of silence before he clears his throat.
He did, however, mention your English grade.
Seriously? It's gradually that I suck in a deep breath before releasing it back into the atmosphere as my gaze scans the surrounding area. At this time of the evening, campus isn't nearly as crowded. There are only a few pockets of students.
I suppose he told you that I'll be working with a tutor, I grumble.
Just saying the words pisses me off all over again.
He did. It certainly can't hurt.
I press my lips together in silent disagreement.
Mav?
I huff out a sigh.
Yeah?
It's not the worst thing in the world.
There's a pause as his voice softens.
We both understand that.
He's talking about Mom's breast cancer diagnosis. Nothing could be worse than that. I don't even like to think about how terrible that year was. Every time I do, a pit the size of Texas takes up residence at the bottom of my belly. Even though I try not to dwell on it, in the back of my mind, I'm always concerned that the cancer will roar back with a vengeance, and she'll no longer be in remission. Every time she gets a blood draw, I worry. Every time she goes in for a mammogram, I hold my breath until the scans come back clean. You know what I hate more than anything? Fucking cancer. And the way it blew our lives apart in the blink of an eye, On the outside, everything might look like it's returned to normal, but that's not the case. Our family has been forever changed by this insidious disease. Yeah, I know, I mumble.
I'm just asking that you keep it in perspective, all right? Control what you have the power to change.
His soft words leave me feeling like a sulky teenager. From the corner of my eye, there's movement near one of the academic buildings, and my head swivels in that direction. The fine hair at the nape of my neck prickles as I narrow my eyes, straining against the setting sun. My heart leaps before slamming against my chest. I blink, and there's no one. Whoever it was is now gone. Or maybe I'm hallucinating. For just a second, I'd thought,
Maverick, you still there, or have you chucked your phone into a snowbank?
I snort out a laugh. Totally chucked it.
That's what I thought.
His voice turned serious again.
You know, I struggled with the same issues in school. It wasn't easy, but I did get through it. And you will too.
The tension filling my muscles drains.
So you keep saying. Just work as hard as you can. That's all Mom and I can ask of you.
I'll try.
We'll see you tomorrow for dinner?
Yep.
Looking forward to it. Just remember that we love you, and we're proud of all you've accomplished, Mav.
I drop my voice as warmth spreads through me. Love you too, Dad. With that, I end the call and slip the cell back into my pocket. Some of my previous irritation at the situation melts away, leaving me feeling resigned. Talking to my dad always helps me get my head on straight. As I pick up my pace, my gaze slides to the building where I thought I saw her. It's so tempting to look up River's socials, because I'm willing to bet that I'd find the hot blonde somewhere on there. Maybe then I could figure out who she is. As soon as the sneaky little idea pops into my brain, I quash it. I've never looked up a chick on social media. It seems stalkerish, and that's the last thing I am. Girls have always chased after me, not the other way around. The cell burns a hole in my pocket as I hit the parking lot and click the locks on my truck. No way in hell am I breaking down and doing it. I shove the thought from my head and yank the door handle before sliding behind the wheel. One press of the ignition and the vehicle roars to life. Instead of hauling ass out of the parking lot, I sit and stew as an internal struggle takes place in my brain. What I need to do is forget all about that chick. Not make things worse by finding out who she is and where I can find her. I mean, I do have her necklace, though. She probably wants it back. My hand rises to touch the tiny W pendant that hangs from the delicate silver chain. So maybe I should, you know, return it. And the only way I can do that is... Before I can finish the thought, I'm sliding myself from my pocket and opening the home screen. I bring up Insta and type in River's name. A tiny icon of him on the ice pops up, along with a few other people with similar names. Just as I'm about to hit the icon, my thumbs pause, hovering over the screen. Am I seriously going through another dude's socials to find some girl who snuck out of my bed after we slept together? Am I? Fuck it. Apparently I am. I tap his name and wait for his profile to load. Information and images in a grid pattern populate the screen. My gaze slides over the photos until it lands on one with her in it. My heart stutters before slamming against my ribcage as I stare at them. Their arms are wrapped around each other's shoulders, and they're both grinning at the camera. That's all it takes for jealousy to explode within me. All I have to do is tap the photo, and she'd probably be tagged in it. That's the reason I did this, right? To figure out who she is so I can track her ass down. Fuck. Fuck, fuck. If this photo is anything to go on, the place I'll find her is warming River Thompson's bed. I hit the line at the bottom of the screen and swipe my thumb upward until the images dancing before my eyes disappear and I'm back to the home screen. Irritated with myself, I toss the phone onto the passenger seat and shift into drive before squealing out of the parking lot.
Chapter 15, Willow. Are you sure this is a good idea? Holland asks from beside me as she studies the blue Victorian set away from the road. My teeth scrape across my lower lip as I carefully turn the question over in my head. Nope, not at all. She snorts. Just what I love, a well-concocted plan that has little chance of succeeding. A fresh burst of nerves prickles at the bottom of my belly as my fingers drift along my collarbone. I need my necklace back. Here's an idea you might not have explored. Just ask him for it. I rip my gaze away from the house long enough to meet her serious one. He can't figure out who I am, and I can't take the chance that River will find out what happened between us either. I press my lips together and nod, as if trying to persuade myself this is the only path forward. Because apparently, I haven't convinced Holland of it. Her dubious expression tells me everything I need to know. She's never been one to sugarcoat anything. And with the way she grew up, I can understand the reason for it. This is the way it has to be. If you say so. Doubt creeps into her tone as her voice trails off. I straighten my shoulders. I do. If only I felt nearly as confident as I sound. This is me taking a page from the Fake It Until You Make It book. I just hope it doesn't blow up in my face, because that, unfortunately, seems like a distinct possibility. Fine, let's go over the plan one more time. I suck in an unsteady breath before gradually releasing it back into the atmosphere and attempting to calm the tension that vibrates inside me like a live wire. As soon as Maverick leaves, I'll go to the front door and knock. Hopefully, someone I don't know will answer. I'll tell them that I left something in Mav's room last weekend. Then I'll hightail it up there and search for it. And if no one's home? If the front door is unlocked, I slip inside, haul ass to his room, and hope it's there. And I'll wait here, wishing I had some popcorn while you try not to get caught. I turn and glare. I could really use your support and good vibes. Her lips crook. This is me giving you my full support. I know. That's what's scary. She points toward the house. Looks like the canary has just flown the coop. My head whips toward the front of the Victorian just in time to see Maverick stroll out with one of his teammates. It's tempting to press closer to the windshield for a better view. Instead, I hunker down, hoping he doesn't turn and spot me. Even though Holland's rattle trap of a vehicle is parked a few doors down the street, I still feel exposed. Chickens, I mutter. Huh? I don't think canaries live in coops. Pretty sure it's chickens. She snorts. Well, that changes everything. I shift on the seat. Is there any chance you'll reconsider doing this for me? Her eyes widen as she gives her head a vehement shake. Fuck no. We saw Bridger leave 10 minutes before Maverick. There's no chance you'll run into him. I don't care. I refuse to breathe the same air as that dick. Her tone softens. As much as I love you, you're on your own with this one. Fine, I grumble. In silence, we watch as Maverick and his friend slide into a black pickup truck and take off. It's now or never, Holland says. You've got this. I really hope so. Just pretend you're a dumb bunny looking to get laid. I'm sure there's a revolving door of them. I frown at the idea of that being the case. Although Holland is more than likely spot on in her assessment, groupies probably crawl out of the woodwork to sleep with Maverick McKinnon. After the night I spent with him, I can totally understand the reason for that. When a kernel of jealousy blooms to life inside me, I stomp it out. We had one night together. He's probably forgotten all about it by now. Get a move on, girl. I meet Holland's steady gaze. Wish me luck. You don't need luck, she points toward the house. Now go. I suck in a deep breath before jerking the handle and jumping from the car. The passenger side window disappears between us. How cool would it have been if you ducked and rolled? Before I can respond, She hums the Mission Impossible theme music as she moves her shoulders from side to side. A reluctant smile simmers at the corners of my lips as I swing away and jog to the concrete walkway and then up the rickety front porch stairs. A tremor slides through me as memories of the way he'd slipped his arm around my waist and held me close tumble through my brain. Once at the door, I peek inside the beveled windows, looking for signs of life. There are none. I throw a cautious glance over my shoulder and meet Holland's eyes. She gives me a thumbs-up sign in response. Just like she said, it's now or never. My fingers wrap around the handle before twisting the knob and shoving the thick wood open. Air gets clogged in my throat as I peer inside and pause to listen. The only thing I'm able to hear is the hammering of my own heart as it echoes in my ears. I throw another watchful look over my shoulder before slipping inside the entryway. My gaze slides over the interior. It looks different with the bright sunlight pouring in through the windows than it did in the darkness, or even when I'd snuck out the next morning. I'd been much too intent on escaping to soak in my surroundings. It reminds me of the house that River shares with a bunch of teammates near Easttown University. There's a masculine presence that lacks any female touches or hominess. Just as I take the staircase to the second floor, a deep voice says,
"So, is this going to become a regular occurrence, you sneaking in and out of our house?"
For the second time within a week, I yelp and swing around, only to find Hayes leaning against the wall outside the living room. He grins, taking in the startled expression that must be plastered across my face.
"Funny, you just missed Maverick."
With a tilt of his head, he crosses his brawny arms against his chest.
"I could give him a call if you'd like. I'm sure he'd love to see you again."
"That's not necessary. The only reason I stopped by is because I, left something behind the other day."
"Night."
My brow furrows.
"What?"
His smile widens.
"What I think you meant to say is that you left something behind the other night."
There's a pause.
"When you came home with Maverick."
My cheeks heat.
"And then stayed until the wee hours of the morning."
"Thanks for the recap."
"No problem. I'm here to help."
"That's doubtful."
"No, really. I'm curious as to what you left behind. Is it a pair of panties? Maybe a bra?"
"Of course not." I straighten to my full height and point to the second floor. He's wasted enough of my time. "I'm going to take a look." Without waiting for a response, I rush up the staircase.
"Just let me know if you'd like some assistance,"
he calls after me, voice brimming with humor. "No thanks," I mumble beneath my breath. "I'm good." It takes a few moments to find his room. I open one door and peek inside before realizing that it's not the right one. Once I find his private space, I slip inside and shut the door before leaning against it. My heart feels like it'll pound right out of my chest. Only wanting to get this over with, I launch myself toward the bed. The sheets and comforter look like someone just rolled out of them. There's a maroon Western Wildcats hockey t-shirt crumpled near the end of the mattress. Unable to help myself, I pick up the cottony material and bring it to my nose before inhaling. My eyelids feather closed as his masculine scent inundates my senses. That's all it takes for memories to hit me like a freight train, knocking me off kilter and sending my pulse thrumming. No guy should smell this amazing. I really need to focus on the reason I've returned to the scene of the crime. It's reluctantly that I drop the shirt and whip back the navy comforter, hoping that my necklace will be there. Instead, I find the sheets empty. Crap. I pick up each pillow and glance beneath them. Nada. Then I look between the sheet and the comforter. In desperation, I drop to my knees and peer under the bed, swearing under my breath. I pull my phone from my pocket and turn on the flashlight to make sure I haven't overlooked it. Other than a pair of shoes and a wadded up piece of tissue, There's nothing. Huffing out a breath, I blow a piece of hair from in front of my eyes as my brain cartwheels. I really thought I'd find it here. Is it possible that it fell off at the bar? Or maybe the hockey arena? Ugh. I'll have to give both places a call. As tempting as it is to tear the room apart, I need to get moving before my luck runs out. It's bad enough that I ran into Hayes. Again. I'm afraid he'll mention to Maverick that I dropped by. Or River. Just as I reach the door, ready to slip into the hallway, there's a loud slam from downstairs. A flurry of nerves explodes inside me and sweat springs to my palms as I press my ear against the thick wood, hoping it was Hayes taking off. Dread pools in my belly when I hear a babble of male voices. The distinct sound of feet pounding up the staircase has my eyes widening as I search the room, looking for a place to hide. With no other obvious options, I dive into the closet and bury myself at the back of it as the door flies open and Maverick bursts into the room. Oh shit, is he on to me? Does he know I'm here? Did Hayes tell him? Air gets wedged in my lungs until I'm on the verge of passing out. The closet door is open half a dozen inches. It's just enough for me to watch him pause near his desk before reaching down for something on the side of it. Air leaks from my lungs as he swings around and moves back toward the hallway. Before he can take another step, he pauses and searches the room with narrowed eyes. His brows pinch as he sniffs the air and makes a second visual sweep of the space before shaking his head. I wince. It never occurred to me not to wear perfume. That was a rookie mistake. I'd make a terrible spy. Just when I expect him to leave, he swears under his breath and tosses whatever he'd picked up onto the bed. Oh God, he knows I'm here. I'm about to be busted. I'd squeeze my eyes tightly shut, but I can't stop staring at him. My mouth tumbles open when he drags down the front of his gray sweatpants and boxers, allowing his cock to spring free. My heart skips a painful beat as he palms the thick erection. What the hell is happening here? There's no way he's going to. As soon as those thoughts circle through my brain, his grip tightens around the girth and he hisses out a sharp breath. Holy crap. Yes, he is. He is most definitely going to. The harsh sound that falls from his lips is all it takes to have my panties flooding with arousal. From my position in the closet, I have the perfect view. As he strokes his hard length, his eyelids flutter closed, and his head tips back, revealing the thickly corded muscle of his throat. My mouth turns cottony as my clit throbs with awareness. I don't realize that my hand has slipped beneath the band of my leggings and panties until my fingertips brush across the top of my slit and a gasp escapes from me. That first slide feels so damn good, although not nearly as amazing as when he was the one playing with my body. I clap my other hand over my mouth as fear slices through me. It's a relief when he continues jacking himself off. I feel like a total deviant as my fingers rub soft circles across that tiny bundle of nerves.
Yo, Mav, let's get a move on it,
a voice from downstairs calls. His dark lashes flutter as his expression twists as if in pain.
I'll be there in a minute,
he grits from between clenched teeth. Another groan escapes from him as he tightens his hold, pumping his cock even faster than before. My fingers move at the same speed as my gaze stays glued to the handjob he's giving himself.
Fuck,
he growls as pearly fluid erupts from the tip of his cock and lands on the t-shirt crumpled on his bed. I press my hand tighter against my mouth as my own orgasm streaks through me and my inner muscles spasm. His rigid stance loosens as he continues to pump his thick length until it softens before my very eyes. A musky scent hangs in the air as my muscles go limp and I slump against the far wall of the closet. My heart beats erratically as my breath comes out in harsh pants. When he's finished, he tucks his cock back inside his sweats before plowing his other hand through his hair. Only then do I notice the slight flush staining his cheekbones. My guess is that mine are tinged a similar shade. A few seconds later, he disappears through the door. Holy crap, that was a close one. Everything that just happened somersaults through my brain. It's the sound of the front door slamming that jerks me from my daze, and I force myself to climb out of the closet. As I make my way to my feet, my gaze settles to the bed and the shirt. I can't help but step closer to get a better look at what he left behind. As embarrassed as I am to have witnessed such a private moment, it's hands down one of the sexiest things I've ever seen. I almost shake my head. When the hell did I become such a perv? Even though I should get the hell out of here, I can't stop staring at the maroon shirt, the one I'd pressed to my nose and inhaled not more than 10 minutes ago, the very same one he just ejaculated all over. The pearly fluid almost glows against the dark color, just like in the closet when I'd slipped my fingers down the front of my leggings to touch myself. It's not a conscious decision to reach out and run them through his jizz. My heart pounds when I find it still warm, fresh from his body. I don't give it a second thought as I scoop up a dollop and lift it to my lips. My tongue darts out to lick my fingertips. As soon as I do, his scent envelops me as his salty taste explodes my mouth. I can't resist taking another swipe. Heat explodes inside my core as a fresh burst of arousal dampens my already wet panties. It's so damn tempting to take the shirt with me as a little souvenir of what just happened. Instead, I swing toward the door and slip from the room before hauling ass down the stairs to the first floor.
Find what you were looking for.
I pause on the last step and meet Hayes's amused expression. No. Heat floods my cheeks as I force myself to maintain eye contact.
Maybe we should check lost and found before you take off. Never know what goodies you'll come across.
My gaze drops to the small brown box in his hands. Is this guy serious? They just throw the random stuff girls leave behind into a cardboard box, not really caring if it ever gets reclaimed. He pulls out a tiny scrap of black material that I assume is a thong.
Would this happen to be yours?
With a squint, his gaze runs over the length of me.
It's probably the right size.
My face crunches before I can think better of it. Ew.
Hey, don't yuck someone else's yum.
I don't bother with her response as I hurry down the last step and head for the door. I'm sure Holland is wondering what happened to me.
Just out of curiosity, do you know what you're doing?
All his previous humor has fled. The seriousness shining in his eyes is far more disconcerting than the thong dangling from his finger. No, not at all.
Well, good luck with that. We both know that River will shit a brick if he finds out you've been banging his arch nemesis.
Ugh, he's not wrong. With nothing left to say to that bit of truth, I slip out the door.
Chapter 16, Maverick. As soon as I slide into the back seat of Ryder's truck, he squeals away from the curb and does a U-turn in the middle of the street. His gaze flickers to mine in the rearview mirror.
Find what you needed?
Yep. I don't mention the familiar floral scent tinging the air in my room. I can't be certain, but it smelled like the same one that clung to the blonde from Saturday night. Unfortunately, as soon as I'd caught a whiff, it sent my senses into overdrive, and my cock had stiffened right up. And since I didn't want to sport a hard-on for the rest of the evening, I'd gotten myself off in record speed. This is definitely getting out of hand. Pun intended. I stare out the passenger side window and watch the landscape roll by as we head home for dinner with my parents. I really need to move on from this girl. Scenting her perfume in my space and catching glimpses of her all over campus is really starting to fuck with my head. My fingers brush over the necklace that hangs around my neck. I'd thought I'd lost it the other day and panicked, tearing my room apart. Turns out I'd left it in the bathroom before hitting the shower. It's only after I fastened it around my neck that everything settled within me. Juliet twists toward the back seat.
Have you talked with Mom lately?
My eyes slice from the landscape to my sister. Her brow is furrowed. A couple days ago? Why? I hate the suspicious tone that enters my voice. It's like I'm always waiting for the other shoe to drop. It's exhausting.
She went for a checkup yesterday.
Her words are like a gut punch. No, she never mentioned it. I mumble, fingers drifting to the necklace before tightening around the silver W pendant that hangs from it. For some odd reason, it makes the tension attempting to flood my system dissipate. Maybe not completely, but enough to stop my brain from spiraling with fear.
I'm sure she'll mention it at dinner.
I can't help but notice the way Ryder wraps his hand around my sister's fingers before giving them a gentle squeeze. She glances at him, and some of the concern marring her expression melts away. It only makes me feel lonelier, isolated. With an irritated huff, I close my eyes and allow my head to fall back against the seat.
I just want to forget about the crap that's been swirling around inside my brain like a chaotic storm.
The constant concern I have that Mom is one step away from a relapse. If that happens, it's doubtful we'll come out of another battle unscathed. Then there's my changing relationship with Ryder. And my English grade that's now in the shitter, jeopardizing whether I get ice time, which in turn could affect my future. Last but not least, there's the elusive girl who continues to haunt my thoughts like a specter. The very same one who belongs to River Fire.